soul winning, blessings and rewards. A verse that I'd like to look at, and we'll come back to it, 1 Thessalonians verses 2, 19 and 20. The apostle writing to these people that he had won to the Lord says, "What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?" This word rejoicing could mean glorying, as if boasting. "Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." He pictures a time when Christ returns and there is the judgment seat. There is the time when Christians are evaluated to see how well they ran the race. He says, "When I have you as the evidence that I did something here, then you will be my hope, you will be my joy, you will be my crown of rejoicing, my crown of glorying." Not self-glorying here, but having glory bestowed upon him, and that by the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. "For ye are our glory and joy." So the soul winner receives both earthly blessings and heavenly rewards. And let's look at that then one after the other. Earthly blessings. Is there any practical good of giving ourselves, dedicating ourselves, learning what it takes to actually influence people about the Lord? There is. A soul winner is trained by Jesus to a new calling. You remember what it must have been like for the disciples. They were fishermen. They were all kinds of things. And then they weren't. They were something else. And he trained them personally. You get to enter into that. Matthew 4:19, he saith unto them, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." None of them were that before. He says, "I'm going to train you in this work of setting out the proper bait, being at the right place, the right time." I'm talking about stuff I don't know anything about, fishing. But I've heard people say that. You have to be the right place, right time. Mark 1:17, Jesus said unto them, "Come after me, I will make you to become fishers of men." Luke 5:10, "And so was also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." They knew what it was like to go fishing. And I told somebody, as soon as I found out it involved stabbing worms on hooks, I was not interested in fishing anymore. Crickets on hooks, still moving. Not my favorite sport. I don't have a favorite sport, in fact, but fishing, definitely not it. At any rate, I would go with people who were fishing, and I would enjoy my time on the boat. But I know people who are dedicated. Jody's mom said she would love as much love fishing as eating, and just a fun thing for so many people, just a glorious thing. Well, if we could be trained by Christ, who knew how to do it, we would then be involved in a great sport that would apply to so much more than just the next meal. So a soul winner is trained by Jesus to a new calling. That's a pretty good earthly benefit. The second thing is that soul winner learns submission of his personal rights. You know, what's a great problem today? Everybody's after their own rights. It's all about them. My wife has a phrase whenever we're driving and somebody pulls out and cuts in front of us. Says, "Me first, me first." That's the theory of driving today. Me first, me first. The Apostle Paul had learned something else. He said, "As important as I am to me, I'm not as important as the things of God." 1 Corinthians 9:19 and 20. For though I be free from all men, he says, I'm not a slave to anybody, yet have I made myself servant or slave unto all, that I might gain the more. His personal rights? Subdued, you see. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. He said, I adapted myself to fit in with people so that I could influence them for the sake of Christ, for the sake of their salvation forever. A third blessing. A soul winner gains the satisfaction of ongoing obedience. The question often comes to the person who becomes newly born again, entered into the family of Christ, what can I do that's right? What could I involve myself in that is the right thing? I've been involved in a lot of things that I liked, and then I got tired of it and did something else. What could I be involved in that God would be pleased? Well, this is it. And we see this because of Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Jesus himself said to his followers, go ye therefore and teach all nations. This is the phrase, and I put it in a different color there for you, make disciples of all nations. This is his great work. This is what he told us to do as Christians. The question is, are you obeying? Not have you ever obeyed this, but are you? You can gain the satisfaction of ongoing obedience. So making disciples, baptizing them, teaching them, just as he's commanded. Mark 16, 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Newsflash, every creature hasn't been reached yet. Luke 24, 47, 48. That repentance, turning away from what you believe now, and remission of sins, the taking away of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, where you start, and ye are witnesses of these things. He says, so tell others about it. Proclaim it. Preach it. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And at the court, they say, raise your hand, give a testimony, give a witness of what you've seen, you see, and this is what we're to do. We're not out to preach our theories of theology. We're out to tell them what happened to us, that our life is better. And theirs can be too. Acts 13, 47, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. In a world of darkness, sadness, despair, you can be a light. The light can draw, you know, moths and unwanted things. But it can also be a guide to the people who are suffering in the darkness. A fourth blessing is that soul winner shows the highest wisdom. I think we all would like to be wise. I'm happy to see my small collection of owls that people have given me. They're saying that I was a wise person. Fun to see these little trophies. But if you'd like to be considered the highest wisdom, Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth or taketh souls is wise. Who said that? God. Whose opinion is this? God. It's not just the church committee thinking you're doing a great job, that you're wise. This is God himself. Again, a soul winner gains special nearness to Jesus. I think this would be a point that everybody that would like to encourage soul winning would like to bring out. But isn't that a little more sales talk than anything else? No. You find it right there in the passage we looked at earlier. Matthew 28, 19 to 20, the Great Commission. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And what happens? In connection to the very command to be a soul winner, he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. This word world is the word age, eon. Even to the end of the time, you see, that you're here. He will be with you. And what we're saying here is that, of course, Christ is always with us. We know that, you know, just from the Bible, the theology of it. But we don't always feel him near us. But I'll tell you, when you rejoice in him is when you've been able to share this good news with someone, like sharing, I don't know, like the cure to cancer or something, and you can share the good news with people. They receive it, and their life opens up. Their life changes. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And notice, he that abideth in me, and I in him, a vine branch picture here, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So when you're really connected to him, the source of nourishment, the branch actually attached to the vine, then you bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. There is a producing of the fruit that reminds you that you are attached to him, for you could do nothing without him. A couple more things. A soul winner experiences a special cleansing of life. When you think about it, you would expect this. A special cleansing of life. If you are dedicated to influencing people for God, then how they see your life will make a difference to you. See? We find this in John 15:2. Jesus again talking about the branch and the vine. He's the vine, you're the branch coming off the vine. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he, God the Father, taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, what does he do? He purgeth it, he prunes it off, that it may bring forth more fruit. I've heard that plants that produce fruit can either give all of their strength to growing longer vines, and so the wise husbandman clips that off, so the strength goes into the producing of fruit instead. So I have a shorter vine, but more fruit. There are things that we're interested in that will not influence others for Christ. And when our goal is to do what he has said, then those things are cleaned out, cleaned off. We're not as interested in that anymore. And the last one is this, a soul winner experiences the yielding to the Spirit. We know, all through the scripture, the idea of us not ruling ourselves, but bowing to God and letting him, and the Holy Spirit is that person of the Godhead who lives within the believer, lives in your heart. He represents God the Father and God the Son living in you. Amazing concept. I was thinking recently the great sacrifice of Christ dying on the cross. Think of the great sacrifice of the Holy Spirit, who is dedicating his entire being to living within believers, all at the same time, all through their lives, since the church began. Wow, that's a real dedication. But a yielding to the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He's saying, don't drink wine to where you're feeling drunken. That's excess. But be filled with the Spirit. Not filled with wine to drunkenness, but be filled with the Spirit to be controlled by him. To let his influence be seen. And when we're doing what God commands, we are yielding to the Spirit. again, Galatians 5, 22, 23, talking about what happens when the Holy Spirit bears fruit in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let me just ask you this. If your life was giving forth the fruit of the Spirit listed here, how attractive would your life be? You might be going through difficulties, but you are long-suffering, you see. You might be oppressed, but you have joy. You might have people who are trying to hurt you in some way, and you have love. What a difference. And this is what, through these many, many years of Christianity, has been the light that drew people from the darkness. The people who said, you seem to actually live according to what you believe. Yes. So all of these are the great blessings of life in this world as you turn your life around to being one who influences others for Christ. But it doesn't end there, because this life does not end at all. This life ends and we are taken to heaven. And there we have heavenly rewards. So let me take this to you, bring this to you as we consider this before we go eat. The heavenly rewards. We don't know this by personal experience. We know this because God has revealed it to us. And why did he reveal it to us? Because he wants us to look forward to it. He wants us to anticipate it. A soul winner gains a heavenly crown. I don't know what that means. I always think of an earthly crown. I think of these beautiful little tiaras that the girls wear and these other things, you know. I kind of like seeing some of these old-fashioned crowns made of iron and so on. They don't look very glittery, but it just speaks of power and that type of thing. But what is a heavenly one? Well, it's something in the mind of God. But we have proof. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brethren, you who have become Christians, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. You are my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, which was our text verse. For what is our hope or joy or crown? What is our crown, he says? And the answer is, ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. You will be a crown. 1 Peter 5, 2-4, he's talking here to the pastors, but what he's talking about is how they influence the people in their church. And you have not a church necessarily, but you have a group of people around you that you influence. You are influencing people, for good or bad. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you. And this which is among you could be meaning as much as in you is. Give it your all is the idea. Feed them. Not junk food. Not the flash in a pan stuff. Feed them with that which will help build them up. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, for money's sake, but of a ready mind, neither is being lords over, overruling God's heritage. You must obey me. But that's not your attitude, but being ensamples to the flock. You say, the leader says, follow me. I know where I'm going. You'd be wise to follow me. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, what happens? Ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. It's an everlasting thing, because God is everlasting. But there is also a second heavenly reward. that we're quite convinced of here. And that is, a soul winner gains heavenly glory. This glory speaks, first of all, of how you are seen, how you are, you know, the testimony that you have, the opinion that others have of you, literally. But then it came to mean other things. The concept of it being that the angels showed the glory of God by actual physical light. I don't know exactly how that's going to work, but it sounds like that's what he's talking about. That once we get to heaven, where the physical thing isn't the ultimate anymore, how tall you are, how bulky you are, whatever, because we're spirit beings with a spirit body, it's what the spirit looks like. There's the beauty of holiness there. Listen to these verses and tell me what you think. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What's the perfect day? Well, that would be once we get to heaven. You shine. Daniel 12:2-3. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, the dead, shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise, this is literally the ones who are teachers of what? The things of God. Shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. The firmament is the sky. The brightness is the sun, the moon, and the stars. Shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, that they turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. If you've ever been impressed by twinkling stars in the dead of night, thought about how many years they've just been blazing away up there. God told Daniel that you could be like that. You'll be a shining light for God, part of your reward. The New Testament says it as well. Matthew 13:43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. He always says that when he's saying something about that we don't have any experience with. But it's like a riddle. If you have ears to hear, you know, if you can actually understand this, then pay attention. And the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Bright lights. Philippians 2:15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom, even now, you see, ye shine as lights in the world. People turn toward the light. And then again, our text verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:20. For ye, he says, you people that I have led to the Lord, are our glory. Our glory, our shining. And joy. He says, nothing that I have done in myself will count much, but how much it will be worth when I have you people that I've led to the Lord. You and I have that choice to do with our time and our effort as we choose. You and I spend time among other people. None of us are some hermit on the mountaintop. We're not all wrapped in wolves in our ice cave, you know. We're among other people. Some of it's family, some of it's friends, neighbors, people we don't choose to be with necessarily, workmates. But we interact with people. God has put us in that situation. Even people who stay mostly at home interact by social media and emails and all these things, and people come to the door. Let me ask you, what do you choose to do with that time of interaction? God says that if you choose not to be focused on yourself, but on what good you could do to others, then there are great blessings on this earth and greater rewards in heaven. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to be a good influence on people, and yet the things that we perhaps prefer to do would lead them astray. Perhaps the things that we would love to give ourselves to, and we do as our hobby, or our get away from work time, maybe that would lead them astray. But Father, we know of things that will always be good for them. We know of a truth that will lead them to heaven. We know of truths that will lead them to peace and joy and family unity. We know these things, and we ought to be sharing them. Our Father, the world doesn't know what they're missing, but they know that something's wrong. They are coming up with committees to help stop drug abuse. They're coming up with community gatherings to help stop the violence of people murdering each other. And what good do the committees do? They talk about it among themselves, but can they reach the very hearts of the people that need to be reached? Father, throughout all these years, there have been cannibals who've turned to Christ. There have been people who were given to warfare and bloodshed who turned to Christ. There are those who bought and sold slaves, human lives, for money's sake, and they turned to Christ. I ask, Father, that you might help us then to recognize that we could make a significant difference in others if we would turn from self-interest to being a soul winner, to influence the mind and the will and the emotions of those around us, to show them the life of Christ in us and the love of God for us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, it may be that you're saying, Pastor, I'd like to be this soul winner. I'd like to be this person. And I don't know how much I could accomplish. I don't know how good I could be at this. But I am determining that what I can do, I will do. That what I should do is going to be more of my focus than what I can't do. That where I can speak, I will. If that's your concern, if that's your prayer, I wonder if you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you that we have such an awesome opportunity to speak for you, to speak of your truth, of your word, to the lives of the people around us. That we can be that light in the darkness. We can be that glimmer of hope that they have, that things could be different for them. And I ask that you might give us then the blessings of this earth and the glories of the rewards of heaven as we turn to you, using your strength to become what we ought to be. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.